Boker Tov world. I'm telling you, look at this. We've got a Gabi here, first day after the Brit, and I'm assuming that he brought along, of course, Elchanan Yishai for his first day of Daf Yomi. I'm assuming you wouldn't want to miss a day. And so today's Daf in Masechet Chulin, Baruch Hashem, brought to you from Yerushalayim HaKodesh is Daf Kuf Lamed Aleph. And yesterday we learned Rav Chisda, and the din of Rav Chisda was that if somebody is mazik, or even if he eats the matnas kahuna, he is not chayev to pay. And it's only if there's still extant that he's chayev to bring it. But if they're not extant, it's not his responsibility. So yesterday we had four different serious kashas on Rav Chisda, and he answered all of them. And today we have yet another kasha on Rav Chisda, on Kuf Lamed Aleph Toshma. We have a brisa that says Harisha Beit HaMelech Girano. So suppose the king's men have come along and they took away your goren. They have all of the things that you were going to take for giving truma and maaser from, but you never got around to giving truma and maaser before they walked off with all of your grain. So if they took that because you owe legally money to the government that you haven't paid, so then that money is actually due, and therefore if it was paid with the chelek of the maaser, so then you would still have to miser that grain by taking off from something else. Chayav la'aser, you'd have to take off additional miser from something else because otherwise you're paying up your debts with money that actually doesn't belong to you. Im ba'an, but if it was just out and out a loss, then patur mi la'aser, it's not your responsibility because you didn't actually pay up any debts with it. Anyway, but you see from here that if that money of the payers of Meiser and of Truma were used for paying up a debt and they're no longer around, nonetheless, you're going to have to pay back by taking off from somewhere else and giving it to the Kohen and the Levi. So this is against Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda said, if it's no longer extant, then you have to get rid of it. And then you don't have to pay for it because it was just gotten rid of it. Answers the Gemara, Shani Hatam. This case is very different. Why? Because since the Komishtar, since you actually made money out of it, that's different. You actually made money out of the, you took the money to pay for money. So basically, you've switched the money. And therefore, since over there, it may very well be that there, it's still true what Rav Chisda said. It's still true that it's moment, She'im lo tovim. But what does that have to do with your mitzvah? You never actually were mekayim the mitzvah. So if there was no mitzvah because it was taken away from you, I understand. But now we're saying since it was mishtarshele, and you are in essence, you're holding the that which was due for a mitzvah, you still have that chiyuv. Okay, yet another question. Whoa. We've got a lot of kashas on Rav Chisda. So far, he has survived six attacks. Let's see. No, five attacks. Let's see if he can survive this attack. Tashma. Omar lo, a guy says in a butcher shop, he says, "B'chorli b'nei me'el shel parah." I want to buy the actually the entire b'nei me'ayim. So that it would include the keva, because it's all of the innards of this cow. And there were matnos kuhuna. Obviously, I mean, the innards don't include the zroah and the lachayayim, but they do include the keva. And the butcher sells it, including the keva. He comes home, and the keva is there in the package. So that buyer has to give the keva to the kohen. And then he goes back to the butcher, and he says, "I want my money back for the part that was the keva. I didn't realize you were charging me." He says, "No, I didn't charge you for that. Basically, you knew the keva was there. You knew you would have to give it to the kohen, and you took that into consideration in the price, and so did I." On the other hand, if he weighed out the meat and the meat actually included the keva, there obviously he did bill for the keva because he weighed it out together with the rest of it. So if the buyer still has to give the kevah to the kohen. But in that case, he does get paid back from the butcher, and he can tell the butcher, you charged me by weight for the kevah, and I had to give that kevah away, and therefore, why should I pay you? Now, according to Rav Chisda, why? Why actually does it have to be, I'll give it to the kohen? Why that butcher, he was the one that was mechuyev. He was the Zorchei HaZevah. And he was mazik matnas kahuna. So now there's no chiyuv to give them, right? No, of course not, right. The whole point that Rav Chisda said was that it's the zeh. As long as it's extant, of course you have to give it. What are you talking about? The question over here is where it wasn't extant bichlal. But if it's there, all of a sudden, who patered you from the fact that this is menat kohen? That's really, this is no kash. Okay, so this was no problem. So far, he survived six attacks. Let's see whether now we can survive this one. Tashma. Now, this price is very confusing because, as Rashi points out, it really doesn't even make any sense. In fact, Rashi says, I count 15 different matnas kahuna that are nechsei kohen. So I don't know what this is a piece of, but he explains that maybe there's a way to read this braita that includes all 15, but we don't really need to worry about that. We're going to be dealing with the fullest of the 24 matnas kahuna later on, as soon as Barnea is not around one day, and that way he's not going to come at us. And that we'll do later, but meanwhile, let's just stick with the point that we have over here. There are nine different menat that are actually the personal nichse kohen. And in a moment, we're going to explain, what do we mean by nichse kohen? What's the difference between the ones that are nichse kohen, so to speak, and the ones that aren't? I mean, they're all given to the kohen, right? Okay, so that we'll talk about. But here is the nine. Truma and trumat ma'aser and challah and reishit hageiz and the matanot, which are the zroah l'chayayim v'kevah, and demai, the same issues of where this is like we're looking at as a new thing because it was a takana d'rabbanan to give in a case where rov give and afal piken we're metakein that if the person is an am haaretz we take again my bikurim, and then when you have keren the chomesh in a case where there was somebody was gozel or otherwise denies money that he owes with a shvuah, so remember that when he's meida he has to not only and pay it back, but he has to add also a chomesh to what it is that he swore he didn't owe, and he brings an asham, and so on. But what happens if that person is a ger who never had children? So then, as it says, if he doesn't have any children, so then we had in Nosai a halacha that this is given to the kohanim. And therefore, this represents yet another one of the nichsei kohen. And when we say that it's nichsei kohen, what does that mean, lamai? In what sense is it nichsei kohen? Doesn't that mean that it's nichsei kohen that you can sue for in court? So in other words, you treat it as if it's his actual money, money that's owed legally by a particular kohen that sues you. But according to Rav Chisda, you can't be sued because Rav Chisda said that the matanais are considered to be mamon she'en lo tovim. And here you're saying, no, you can take him to court. So obviously Rav Chisda is wrong. Answers Rav Chisda, that's not what it means at all. When we say over here, it's nichsei kohen, that's about the din that we learned in the Mishnah and Bikurim. Lema amru nichsei kohen. Ilagabe, what do we call the Bikurim? A nichsei kohen. And the same thing would be true over here with all of these other things. They are nichsei kohen in the sense shekone behem avadim v'karkaot ubehem atmeah. These are things that is he can simply take his bikurim and he can sell them if he wants, as long as that person's allowed to eat them, and he can take the money and he can use that money for anything. He can even use it to buy a horse with. You know, so you'd think it would have some level of kedusha. No, it's nichse. It's like his own secular things that he owns, and he can use it even to buy a horse, a balchov noto b'chova, he can be actually have that taken away in court for somebody he owed money. His wife can take them for ketuva, and he can use them to buy a sefer Torah. Isn't that obvious? Rashi says, I don't know. Like, I mean, if it already said he could buy a horse, I don't quite understand what the chiddush is that he can buy a sefer Torah. There's a lot of discussion about that matter. What would it mean? So it could be that the point is that because once you buy a sefer Torah, you can't really do anything with it. You can't sell it. You can't translate it back into food. You're not allowed to sell a sefer Torah to buy food. So you might think other things are ultimately translatable into the medium of the chiyuv of the bikurim that they came from, or the truma we were talking about. But when it comes to sefer Torah, basically you're locking in the funds to something that can never be translated back. Maybe that's the finish. Okay, anyway, now the question is, so now we've got past all of the challenges to Rav Chisda, and Rav Chisda sticks to his own. It's Mamon She'en Lo Tov'im, and it's actually a Gzeras HaKosuv, that if it doesn't exist, you're not mechuyav to make it up. Now, the next question is a Levi chayav in the Matnais Kuhuna of Zroah L'Chayayim Mekeima? Because what the Torah says, remember, Me'et Ha'am Zovchei HaZera. Okay, what does Ha'am mean? Does Ha'am mean the common folk that are not in any way related to this higher order Levim Kayanim, and that doesn't include Levi? Or is the Am Zovchei HaZevach anyone besides a Kohen, even a Levi? So there was a story of a Levi, a Huli Void Avichotav Matanta. There was a Levi that whenever kids would be sent by parents to bring the matanais to the Kohen in the neighborhood, that Levi would sit and wait, and he would grab them from the kids. So they went and they squealed on him to Rav. So Rav said, what kind of guy is this? He's not happy with the fact that we don't take the matanas from him, but he actually steals matanas from others. What kind of guy? Lo mistai, it's not enough for him. The lo shakalino minayim, that we don't take these matanas from him, and he's going to go and take them away from other people? Now, that's very strange. I mean, what does Rav mean? What do you mean it's not enough? We don't. If he doesn't owe it, I mean, we're not doing him any favors in not taking it from him. And if he does owe it, why don't we take it from him? So whatever Rav meant over here is very unclear. So Rav, what's Rav trying to say? If he holds that the Levim are included in the Ams of Chayazeva, so Iikru Am, so then, why don't we take it? We should take it. What do you mean? It's not enough. We don't take it. He owes it. We take it. So mishkonami lishkominayu. Not because somebody sued in court, but because Beis Din is mechayev people to do their mitzvahs. And iloi gruam. So then, if the Torah is not including a Levi in the Ams of Chazevach, so you are not doing him any favors. By that, what do you mean? It's not enough. We did him the favor. There's no favors. The Torah says he doesn't own. So what did Rav mean? The truth is that Rav wasn't sure whether the Levim are considered to be Am Zovchei HaZevach or not. So what he was saying is, look, it should be good enough for him that we didn't paskin that he's mechuyev, you know, because it could be he is mechuyev. So what's he going around taking it from? So therefore, Misafkamai, I ikru am, I lo ikru am. So since Hamotzi Michaviro, Olav Haraya, I can't take it from him because I'm Misupak. And if he were to be sued, and he can always say, listen, you first show me that they're called Am. Rav wasn't sure that they were called Am. And therefore, there should be no way to get it, even though he might owe it. So that's what Rav was saying. You know, it's a good thing for him that we don't actually collect it. That's the sense, not favor in the normal sense, but he should be happy with what it is that the situation. You ask if Rav Papa, anyway, Rav Papa was saying over that Rav wasn't sure about Levim, whether they're called Am or not. And he was saying over the halacha, and Rav Idi Barofin heard him, and he said to Rav Papa, this doesn't make any sense. Why are you saying that there's a suffix about whether Levi is called an Am? Now here, once again, The Gemara was very concerned for Shmuel Chanina, and it's been so long since we were able to get to the Mishnah Parah. So yesterday we did the Mishnah, and today, remember, every time we got to the Sugya in Peah, we said we're going to be getting in there in Chulin, we're going to be getting to the marker of this halacha that an ani is not allowed to keep his own matnas aniyim. He has to give them to other aniyim. And I kept telling you, we're going to get there. Baruch Hashem, we were zeicha, and we got there together. That's wonderful. And here is where we're up to, and we're bringing it in only as an introduction to the question against Rav's suffix. So Rav Idi Baravi wants to prove that Levim are considered to be Am from this. So first we're going to learn the whole thing, and then he'll say why he thinks this is a problem for Rav Suffolk. But first let's just learn the dinim about Leka, Chikha, Peya, and so on, which of course is what Shmuel Chanina has been pushing. And finally the Gemara has come around to seeing things his way. I would figure that that's because he considered it reasonable to put off the daf till 8, which is, I mean, for Shmuel Chanina, this is a major, major life change. And therefore, the Gemara came around to meet him to halfway and to give us the Mekeres of the Dinim in Peah. So here's what it says in the Bright. Arba matnot aniyim shebekerem. The four different matanos aniyim that you have to give when you have a vineyard. And what are they? What are the four? Peret, olelot, shikha, and peah. So, okay, so the peret, we know that is the single grape. It's the equivalent of leket, essentially. Single grapes that were not harvested. They fell in the course of harvesting. That is the equivalent of leket that we have in grain. And the olelot, that's a bit complex. Remember, we described the olelot as being a part of the clusters that don't have katef and they don't have natef. The katef is like the shoulder of the cluster, and the natef is the drip. So in other words, the part that comes down straight down the middle. And there's the grapes don't appear with all of the extra branches that normally appear, so they're not properly formed clusters. That's considered to be, we'll get into the dinim specifically as we go along in Peah, but that is the olelot that belong to the poor, and shikha and peah is the same as shikha, peah, and anything else. The three different matanos aniyim that would be in nogea grain, that would be only like a shikha peah. Obviously, there's no such thing as olelot when it comes to tfuah, and the leket is the equivalent of the parent. Shnayim shebi ilan is also shikha and peah that do apply to a tree as well. So all of those matanot, kulan ein behem tovata na'ala ba'alim, the owner does not have the right to define who gets them. Why do we call that tovata na'a? Because that's worth money. Tovat hana'ah would mean, if you do have the tovat hana'ah, for instance, in giving over the truma to a kohen, the owner has, even though he's a Yisroel, he has tovat hana'ah. So if somebody comes to him and says, listen, do me a favor, I have a grandson who's a kohen, my daughter married a kohen, the boy needs some support, I'll pay you 10 cents on the dollar for you to give all your truma to my grandson. He's allowed to do that, and he can make that money, and that money is called tovat hana'ah. So he definitely has got some serious hana'ah out of it. So in that case, the tovat hana'ah would have applied, but in these cases, you can't go to somebody and say, listen, why I've got a poor grandchild, how about giving him all of the leket, shikha, peah? You don't have any rights to define in anything where the Torah said, tazov means leave it there and you let them pick it themselves. And therefore, as this we already learned together in Peah, you have no rights to that at all. Ein ben tovat hana'ah lebaalim. And what's more, now here is the piece that we are learning in Chulin, we've been waiting for. Afilu ani shebi Yisrael motzin miyado. We will actually take away these matanos, even from the poorest of the poor, if he had a field and he went ahead And he wanted to keep his lekachikopeya or any of these matanais, even though he can go to somebody else's field. But if he doesn't give it, or he takes it away from them, then motzin miado. Besdin says, you have no right to that. Maaser ani. But on the other hand, the maaser ani, which you take off in your home, and that you give out to whom you wish. There, yesh bo tovat hana'a l'ba'alim. But nonetheless, afilu ani shebi Yisrael has to take off the maaser ani, motzi'in oto miyado, and he is chayev in that. The other matanos kahuna, like zroa, l'chayayim, v'keiva, that ein motzi'in otam. Now listen to this. This is weird. We don't take them from one coin for another coin, or from a levy to a levy. Now, that is very strange. So we don't take it from a levy to a levy. Okay, I don't know what that means precisely, but it sure sounds like from a Yisrael to a levy you would take it, but you don't take it from a levy to a levy. Now, I mean, that really implies, like, what are we talking about over here? This part, I mean, the thing that goes specifically to a levy, that would be referring l'chora to Maaser Rishon. So that a Yisrael has to give to a levy, and a coin to a coin seems to be referring to the Matnes Kuhuna. So we seem to be talking about two different things. Okay, before we analyze what it means, and we use it to ask a question on Rav, and you can see where we're going to try to establish what the din of Levi is in terms of the Am, the Zoveach, the Zofche HaZevach, let's first understand what is the Mokar in the Torah for all of these halachas. So you started off by saying there are four matanot in a kerem: peret, olalot, shikha, and peya. What's the mokar of those chiyuvim? Well, these are beferish psukim. V'charmecha lo te'olel, uferet karmecha lo te'laket. Okay, so that's peret and olalot. Now, as far as shikha, ki tivtzor karmecha lo te'olel acharecha. So you can't go back and take from behind you. And behind you, of course, acharecha is a reference to shikha, because the word is the in shikha is not to be shuv lakachta. So whatever is behind you, and you already had finished, and now you turn around and notice that there was something left, you can't go back acharecha. That's shikha. And peya. Peya, actually, the word acharecha is a gezeirah shavah to a zayat. Take a look at the zayat. Ki tachbot zeitecha lo tefa'er acharecha. So don't be mifa'er an olive tree. And it uses the word behind you. So what is that acharecha and the pe'er? Tana deveira bishmal shelo titol tifarto mimenu. Don't take its glory from it. So what's its glory? Its glory is basically its completion. The fact that it still is able to show itself as a beautiful tree with its peirot. And therefore, the idea over here is essentially not to take away, even though in a particular tree you could, but what you're doing in that, the way that you usually get your olives is that you bang on the tree, and that shakes it all loose. So there needs to be a tree that shows its most beautiful piece, and that would be the actual last piece. In other words, I am still a producing tree. So that last piece is actually the peya. So don't finish it off completely. And therefore, that shows us that you would actually have to leave a peya. So since it uses that lashon, and it calls it acharecha, so therefore, you see from there that it means there needs to also be a peya. So surprisingly, we learn it from there. Now, this is really amazing, because Rashi brings over here the pasuk in Iyov, in which he's explaining, where does Rabbi Yishmael get this idea of the lo tefa'er So he says that's because when we take a look in Iyov, it says, Uvchol tevuotai tisharesh. So tisharesh is mashma akira. Akira means to take off the last little pieces. Now Rashi brings, this is amazing because it's Nogea the Pusik in the story of Amalek, because by Amalek it says, Vayizanev becha. So here Rashi compares this to tisharesh is the same as the Lashon of Vayizanev becha, which means to even cut off your tail. And that would mean I got the best of you. So that would be actually another way of understanding the idea of Amalek. It's a getter of tisharesh. And that would be the Gulat HaZahav. Gulat HaZahav is the best of you. And the Gemara says, Zu'ama, when it's referring in Kohelet to the story of the decay of death. Anyway, it's fascinating comparison that Rashi brings. It's a whole new way of looking at it. So therefore, we learn from over there that there's also a din out of the Zayit. Then we said that we have three when it comes to Tvua. What are those three? Leket Shecha Upeya. Moker for that. Uve Kutzer Chemet Ketzir Artzechem Lotecha Lepa At Sadecha Bekutzrecha Veleket Ketzircha Lotelakeit. So that is saying Beferish, that you don't take off Peya, Lotecha Lepa At Sadecha. Don't take the leket that falls into the field. So that tells us the din of leket and peah. And then we also have kitiktsor kitzircha basadecha v'shachachta omer basadeh, and that's the din of shikha. And then we know that there's shnayim bi'ilana shikha v'peah. How do we know that? Well, we just learned how we know the din of peah. Kitachbot zeitecha lo tefa'er acharecha, and Rabbi Yishmael just explained that. Shalotitol tifarto mimenu, and that was peah. And what does acharecha mean? Acharecha is the same word that implies shikha. Don't go back and take. Now, next thing the Braita said, in all of these cases, ein bem tovat hana'a la'ba'alim, the owner cannot make any decisions about whom to give it. My time up. Because all of those things, the Torah uses the word la'ani ve'lager ta'azovota. Or, and we'll see this later, yihyeh. Yihyeh means the same thing. Yihyeh means leave it in its state that it was in, because it's another existential word. It always means what it was is what it remains. So therefore, it's not up to you to change the ownership. And then we get to the part that we've been waiting for. Afilo ani shebi Yisrael motzino to miyado. What's the makor for that? That an oni who has a field cannot keep his own leket shekopeya. That's because we darsh in the pasuk the leket kitzircha lo telaket leani. So I'm telling this to the oni. Listen here, Mr. Oni. Leket kitzircha lo telaket. So that means that the hazir ani al shelo, the Torah is warning the oni even on his own field. Don't you gather it in for yourself. And then we said Ma'aser Ani, which is Mitchalek B'tov Beito, there Yesh Bo Tovat Hana'a La'Balim. Why is that? Because by there it doesn't say Ta'azov, Adarabba. There it says V'natata, you should give it L'Levi, L'Ger, V'L'Almana. So obviously, if you're supposed to give it, then that means that it's up to you to define to whom you give it. And therefore, you don't need to be ta'azov. You can actually decide to whom you wish to give it. And nonetheless, we say, even ma'aser ani, afilo ani shebi Yisrael, motzino to miyado, the Omar Rabbi Lagoy, how do we know that? Because this is not part of the pasuk that we were talking about before, le'ani ta'azov. Those were referred to like a chikopeya. The Omar Rabbi Lagoy, the way we know that is from a gezeirah shavah. Because it says the word lager, it says by leket, and it says lager when it comes to Ma'aser Ani as well. V'natata la'levi lager v'almana. And by leket, it says leket ketzircha lote laket le'ani ve'lager tazovota. So since in both cases it says lager, this is exereshava, and ma'la halan muzarani al shelo, just like we learned, le'ani is a gzera, an azora, an oni, to leave leket from his own field, afkan by ma'asirani, even though you have the rights of tovat hana'ah, muzar ani al shelo, and he has to actually leave also the ma'aser ani. So we have basically three different things. We have certain things where you have a right to not only take it yourself, but to determine to whom to give it. So in the event that you're an ani, we have things that you don't have a right to take yourself, but you could still define whom to give it, and that would be ma'aser ani. And then we have the leket shekopea, where if you're an ani, you cannot even take it yourself. V'shar matanot keuna, continued the braita. We still haven't gotten to the raya that we're looking for about Levi being the am zochei hazevach, but we're getting there. Continues the braita. We want to do a good job on this braita first, because Shmuel Chanina won't be happy if we don't. So, shar matanot keuna, kegon hazra lecha yayin v'akiva. Now, here's the curious part. Ein motzinota, lo mi kohen le kohen, lo mi levi le levi. So what does that mean? It means the first part was obviously talking about kohen le kohen, would be talking about the matnot kunav, the zro lechayim v'kevel. So it's mashma, we won't take it from a kohen to a kohen, but we would take it from a levi to a kohen. So if that's the case, if mi levi le kohen, we would be motzi'in the matnot kunav, the zro lechayim v'kevel, then that proves that levi is called the am zochei hazevach. And why did Rav have a suffix about whether they're called the Am? If he didn't think they're called the Am, how did he understand this Braita? Well, and when we said we're talking about Ein, I mean the Kigon Azro L'Chayim V'Keva, Kigon Azro L'Chayim V'Keva doesn't mean the actual Azro L'Chayim V'Keva. We're just giving an example of Shar Matnot Kuna. But that's not what we were talking about in this particular case. The Zro Lechayim V'Keva themselves, they don't have to be given by the Levi. We meant Maaser Rishon. So as opposed to the Matnot Kunav Zro Lechayim V'Keva, you're right. There is something that needs to be given by a Levi to a Kohen. We mean Maaser Rishon. What? What are you talking about? Maaser Rishon? A Levi is the one who's supposed to get the Maaser Rishon. So how could it possibly mean a Levi, we will take from a Levi to give to a Kohen Maaser Rishon? Maaser Rishon belongs to the Levi. Not so pashut, my friend. To Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says that when the Braita says to Tanya, Truma la Kohen, Maaser Rishon la Levi, give Rabbi Akiva. All right, that's the way everybody generally looks at things. We give the truma to the Kohen, and we give the Maaser Rishon to the Levi. But that's true according to Rabbi Akiva. But Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer, no, the Maaser Rishon af la Kohen, it can be given to a Kohen too. Okay, fine. I mean, that's all he said is you can give it to a Kohen as well. He didn't say we're going to take it from a Levi and give it to a Kohen, for God's sake. So how can you learn that this is a reference to the dinim of Maaser Rishon? Emor d'omer Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah af la Kohen. All that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said is that you also can give Maaser Rishon to a Kohen, but why would we take him away from the Levi? Did he ever say we give it to the Kohen and we don't give it to the Levi? La Kohen v'lo l'Levi. Did he ever say such a thing? Yes, actually he did. Because after the knas of Ezra, so it says over there that Ezra was absolutely outraged. It says that he went ahead, this is in Sefer Ezra, ve'ekapseim alahar habal agal, whole story over there, and I spent shlosha yamim avina ba'am uvekohanim ubimnei levi lo matzati. I didn't find any levim, a chutzpah. And they didn't come along to come back to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. We're supposed to go and build a Beis HaMikdash without Levians. And because of that, he was so outraged that he said, from now on, don't pay those Levium for their service. They don't serve. They're useless. Give it to the Kohanim. And so after the Knas of Ezra, we actually give it only to the Kohanim. Okay, but even so, all Ezra said is don't give it to the Levi. He didn't say that we take it away from a Levi and that the Levi has to give it to the Kohen too, do we? I mean, obviously, Barnea, Levi, HaKohen has made mature that he's covered in all directions. I mean, there ain't nothing that he leaves, not a I left undotted and not a T left undotted. He's basically Kohen and Levi. But did we ever say that we're going to actually take it away if they have their own? Ema de Cancino Ezra, the most that we found about this Knas of Ezra is the Loyle Aviano. We don't give them Maaser Rishon. But did he say that we should take away Maaser Rishon from a Levi and give it to a Kohen? No. So I don't see any marker for the way that you explained the Braita, that you said it meant like the Matanais, but it, not the actual Matanais. It was referring to Maaser Rishon. That doesn't explain the words Milevi Lelevi and the difference between Lelevi Lekohen of the first case. He didn't say anything like that. Okay, fine. So you know what? It's not referring to Maaser Rishon. It's referring to Reishis HaGeis. So let's say Kegon Zroa. So you're saying, matanot, like the matanot, like the Zroa L'chaim V'keva. So what is a matanot like? Oh, it meant Reishis HaGeis. So Reishis HaGeis over there doesn't use the word Am or anything. I mean, of course, a Levi is chayev like anybody else, the same way that a Levi has to take off Truma, a Levi has to take off Reishis HaGeis. And that's what it's referring to. So it says, the mashmaut is Levi L'Kohen Kain. What is that? Levi L'Kohen is referring to Reishis HaGeis. That's the point. Okay, so then from a Kohen to a Kohen, that would be the Matanais. From a Levi to a Kohen, that would be a reference to Reishis HaGeis. Okay, so far we don't have a raya as to whether a Levi is considered to be the Am or not. Let's take a look and see if we could bring a raya from the following. Toshma. Zeh HaKlal. You want to decide what type of matana you have to take away from a Levi? Kol davar shehu b'kedusha. Anything that has a kedusha in it that makes it usur to eat for anyone but a Kohen, that has to be taken from a Levi. So therefore, let's say truma, trumat maaser, and chala, things like that, motzi'in otam mi'adam of the Levim. V'chol davar she'eino b'kedusha, kegon hazroa l'chayayim v'akiva, ein motzi'in mi'adam. Ha! So here it says, things like zroa l'chayayim v'akiva, there's no kedusha in them, we don't take them from the Levi. So when, why did Rav have a suffix? It says over here, a Levi does not have to give zroa l'chayayim v'akiva, b'feresh b'raita. No, wait a minute. Here too, it didn't say these Zroa L'chayayim V'keiva. It said things that have no Kedusha like the Zroa L'chayayim V'keiva. But maybe it doesn't mean the actual Zroa L'chayayim V'keiva. Maybe that's a special Chiyuv because they're included in the Ams of Chehazevach. So Kegon Zroa, V'lo Zroa. So what does it mean, therefore, if it's Kegon Zroa? In what sense, if it's Kegon Zroa, what would be an example of a Kegon Zroa? Mind you, Maaser Rishon. And obviously, it would have to be talking about after the Knas of Ezra, Lebota de Cancino Ezra. And therefore, when it's saying over there in that case, that even after there was the Knas of Ezra, Maaser Rishon is not taken from the Levi. And that's still true. That's exactly what we were dying before. Okay, let's see if we can bring a raya from this Mishnah. Tashma. So the Mishnah, which we're going to learn tomorrow, says that if a Sheichet is Shochet LeKohen LeOved Kochavim, so if you are Shechting for someone who is Potter, so then you are not going to, even though you're the shaychet, but since the animal belongs to a kohen or to a goy, and you're doing the shechita for them, you're not chayev if they're not chayev, and because of that, the shochet is potter min hamatanot. So even though he is the eid zochei hazevach, but only if the zevach is for a person that is chayev. But note that it very definitely leaves out Levi. So it's saying if you check for a kohen, but not for a Levi, so meaning that Levi would be like shechting for any other Yisrael. Hala Levi with the Yisrael Chayav. So this proves that Levi is considered to be the Amzov Chayazevach. No, that's not the implication. Don't read that. Hala Levi with Yisrael Chayav. Just Hala Yisrael Chayav. Oh, come on. I mean, that's ridiculous. What are you trying to tell me? That for a Levi mind, that you would be Potter? So then it would be a much bigger chiddush to simply say, Hashochet la Levi, v'lovit kochavi, and potur min ha-matanais. No? I mean, that's an amazing chiddush. And there would actually fix up the very thing that we need to know. And it says, no, Hashochet la Kohen, leaving us in the dark. I mean, that makes no sense. So obviously it means a Kohen and not a Levi. That's what it should say. And not to mention the fact that your Dreykov explanation of this Braita, thank heavens, someone wrote the Braita correctly to make sure that Dreykovs wouldn't get away with murder. And there's a Braita that says, end of Dreykovs. And therefore, the Braita specified, Beferish, if you shecht for a Levi, then you are chayev, and that means that the Levi is definitely included from the in the Amzov Chayazevach. So what's Rav making out like? Nah, we don't really know. We don't have any raya. We have a very clear raya to you to the Rav. Well, says Rav, what do you think? I'm a dummy. Of course, I know the Braita. The point is that it's a machlokas tanoim. This is a machlokas because we have another Braita that says, and this is nogea, the dinim of the Aveda of Yom HaKippur. Now, Rashi learns that what we're talking about over here is the kapora of Yom HaKippurim. Many Rishonim understand that the Gemara is simply talking about the Aveda of Yom HaKippur. Okay, but we'll explain it like Rashi, because since it says v'chiper et Mikdash HaKodesh, so v'chiper means that the Kohen brings a kapora. Remember, the korbanos that are brought there, we learned in the Mishnah Shavuos, that is a kapara on Tumas Mikdash V'Kedaisha. So we went through over there, She'ein bo yediyah b'tchila, yesh bo yediyah b'sof, or vice versa, and so on and so forth. But that's not for here. But certainly the overall kapara, for what it's worth, is lifnai v'lifnim. So you're mechaper on Tuma. There's somebody had become tameh when he was actually in the Kodesh HaKodashim, and he didn't leave right away. So then he would be chayev, and therefore this carbon would be mechaper on that. And then what it says, Es Mikdash HaKodesh ve'es Ohel Moed, the Ohel Moed is referring to someone who became tameh in the Ohel Moed and didn't leave. Et HaMizbeach kimashmao, that's someone who did Aveda b'tumah, and he wasn't there betumah, because in order to be chayev, if you became tameh, you have to leave within a space of kedei ishtachavoya. But if this person does aveda faster than the kedei ishtachavoya, and he starts walking out, and as he walks out, he sprinkles the dam on the mizbeach, or that would be a separate iser of a tameh kohen doing aveda. So that would be the reference to al hamizbeach. And then when it says yichaper, obviously it started with the word v'chiper mikdash hakodesh. So why does it have to say at the end of the pasuk the al hamizbeach yichaper? Why do I need al hamizbeach yichaper bechlal? That tells me that extra yichaper is telling me the azarot. So that's for tuma that you walked in into the azara betuma. Kohanim. Then it goes ahead. Ve'ala kohanim ve'al kol am hakahal yichaper. So the Kohanim, that refers actually directly to Al HaKohanim, if he came in Betumah. And then what it says, Am HaKahal, that refers to Yisrael. And then what it says again, Ve'al Am HaKahal Yechaper, the extra Yechaper refers to the Levium. Ha-ha! So what do you see from here? That the Levi is not included in the Am. We need an extra Pasuk to tell me Yechaper. And the other Tana says, no, Yechaper doesn't mean Levi. Yechaper is coming to include Avadim Knanim, because remember, Avadim Knanim are chayiv in all of the mitzvahs that an isha is chayevet in. So they still need kapara. So it's referring to the Avadim. What's the difference between the two different drushas, says Rav? The Tana, Mar Sova, the Tana of the last Braita, he holds that the Levim are already included in Am. And therefore, Yechaper is available to tell me Elo Avadim. Masha'in came the first Tana, Mar Sova, they're not included in the Am HaKahal, and therefore they need a different Yechaper. So here we see, says Rav, there's a Machlokas Tanoim about whether Am includes Levi. Okay, fine. So who do you paskin like, Rav? Come on. I mean, what are we talking? I mean, we thought you meant that there's no data, you know? You were saying, I have no idea if Levi is considered to be Am. Well, obviously, we do have data. So, I mean, who are you paskin like? Rav, who do you hold like? Is fear like a high Tana? If you hold like one Tana, then say so. And if you hold like the other Tana, is fear like a high Tana, say so. I mean, what do you mean, no data? No, I never said no data. I said, I don't know. And that's because Misafkele, Iki Aitana, Iki Aitana. So Rav wasn't sure about whom the halacha follows. Therefore, he said, we don't take it from the Levi. They ought to be happy enough about that because there are plenty of shittas that say we do take it from the Levi. Now, what about halacha lemaisa? Torash Maremar, Hilchatakavase de Rav. We paskin like Rav, who says we cannot go and take it from the Levium, and Hilchot HaKavata de Rav Chisda, who says that we do not take money or anything in exchange for someone who even who eats the matanais and someone who damages the matanais. And now, surprisingly, Ula, he used to give his matanais, the Zra L'Chayayim V'Keiva, to a lovely Kohenet, and he gave it the Dafka to a woman Kohen. And he held that what's the difference between a male and a female? Where the Torah says only B'nai Aaron, I understand, but if it just says La Kohen, so it could go to a female Kohen too, since when is a woman not a Kohen? Eisvei. What do you mean? It's a Beferesh Mishnah and Seita. Minchat Kohenet Ne'echelet. If a Kohenet brings a Mincha, then as opposed to the din of a Kohen, V'chol Minchat Kohen, you're not allowed to eat, right? It's Galil Tiyeh. And Davka, a Kohenet, is not included in the Minchas Kohen. Why not, according to you? She's also a Kohen. Minchat Kohen, Einan Ne'echelet, as the Pasuk expresses clearly. The Cholmin Chat Kohen Kalil Tiyeh. If according to you, a Kohen includes a Kohenet, so then it says Beferish, Cholmin Chat Kohen Kalil Tiyeh Lo Teachel, and the Mishnah says Beferish that a Minchas Kohenes is Nechel. So how could you say such a thing? Omar Leh, so Ula said to Rava, Rebbe, you just brought a raya against yourself. Mitunach. From your own package, I can show you that you're wrong. The very case that you brought is the raya that you're wrong. Because why do you think it says specifically in the Torah? And when it comes to the din of a mincha, so what does the Torah say? V'zot Torah ha-mincha, hakrevota b'nei Aharon lifnei Hashem, al pnei ha-mizbeach. Why do you think that the Torah had to stress that it's B'nai Aaron? Because that's the whole point. It's B'nai Aaron v'lo B'not Aaron. But if it only says to Kohen, like it says by the Zofchei HaZevach, give it to a Kohen, if it didn't say L'B'nai Aaron, then Dafke would include a Kohenet, you see? So davka from that din of Minchas Kohen versus Kohenet, that's the raya that the Torah differentiates between B'nai Aharon and Stam, the word Kohen. We have another 2 minutes, so let me just go a little bit further. That's no gale, is that okay? Devei Rabbi Yishmael Tana. So he learns not like that, basically like Ula and not like Rava. And he said that it was a braita, that Tana, Kohen va'afilu Kohenet. So what about the case? Normally it would include the word Kohen. The problem is that when it comes to the din of the Matanais, we've got a special problem. And that is two times it says Kohanim. V'zeh yeh mishpata Kohanim, v'natan la Kohen, azroa v'lechayayim v'akeva. So therefore, if we have Kohanim and Kohen, it's a miut achar miut. So even if you normally hold that Kohen doesn't include Kohenet, in this case, it certainly would, because it writes it two times in a row. And if you hold Kohen means dafka male Kohen, then if it stresses Kohanim Kohen, like it does in Mishpata Kohanim v'natan la Kohen, ein miut achar miut, ela lerabot. Actually, the dafka in this case, it includes the Kohenet. Okay, so we've got now different halachas. According to Ula, it always includes Kohenet. According to Rava, never includes Kohenet. According to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, this is a special case of Miyad Achar Miyot about the Batonais that does include Kohenet.